They live social action in their daily life. I think we would all like to feel like we have a huge impact, like Martin Luther King or something. But sometimes the people that you can really impact are the people right in your own neighborhood. And they saw a need and they have fulfilled it. So I welcome them to come up and speak. And I hope Shara had to run home and get her own computer. So I hope it's all going to work.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tara, and I'm used to working on the fly. We work with kids, so, you know, you just have to adapt and adjust. This is my husband, Andre. I'm going to start by showing you guys a couple of videos. One is just kind of a short one of us playing. We practice at the East Rec all year round, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 7. You're right. It is about who you affect in your community, and what we've come to know is building consistency and being present and always there has really allowed this group to blossom to, I think, heights that we knew it would get to, but maybe not this quickly. Before we were... Can you hear me? Sorry. Thought I was loud enough I could turn my outside voice on. We had a guy come from Milwaukee, and he did a video, a couple of videos for us. He spent probably 7-8 hours, I would say, collectively, just getting video footage of us practicing, talking to some of the families. So we'll start with just them performing, and then it'll go into the group and getting some of the background from the members of our crew. And we've seen them grow and develop. After watching this video, I have to say we were both emotional. It's different when you hear directly from the mouths of the people that you're impacting. I mean, they tell us all the time how thankful they are and grateful in those things, but hearing them really break it down from their perspective was really nice.
Escape for the children, but like we go out and do stuff, we go on trips, like, you know, just like a free thing to keep the kids out of trouble.
So it's a lot of fundraising, it's a lot of community support, it's a lot of
just really, I say boots on the ground. I mean, as we've gone places, we've met people and they're just completely captivated by what they're seeing and they want to support the arts, they want to support music, or they want to support youth.
I mean, it's been a big opportunity to our family because it gives the kids like something to do, it keeps them out of trouble, they meet lots and lots of people, and then also even with the parents, it gives us something to do, especially with sister and fellowship. I really love about that.
We've got each other's backs, and as the drummers, we put our heart, soul, and talent into what we do, and we're really passionate about it, and I think we just do a really good job.
My favorite part is about, like, just releasing myself from everything, from school and all that.
As far as how we got started, it was kind of a personal journey.
Yeah. My son had got bullied. He was getting bullied outside. And, you know, the kids, they videotape everything on their phones. And we saw that. And I went and I got my son and I said, come on, you go to show me all these little boys that did this to you. Show it to me because I want to do something about this. And then he showed them to me and then I got all five of them and brought them into actually this room. This room didn't look like this at the time. You know, so I went and got some buckets and some sticks. Taught them how to play individually, and that's how the drumming started.
It started with the buckets, and then from that it grew. And it grew into a friendship, goes to families and everyone else. And even the drum line itself, it donates Christmas gifts to the kids, you know, because sometimes it's a strain out there. So it's like a mini community within a community.
Winona is so small. It's such a small community. And giving some of the children that may not have the opportunity to leave Winona to be into something so huge, you know, and national, I think it would boost their self-esteem and it might take them in directions that they would not have access to otherwise.
Outside of the drumline, we also all spend time together.
We're just really a big group that supports each other.
We're just a really big community.
Sometimes our arms hurt a lot after practice, but overall it's just a lot of fun.
I think we should be able to go to this show because Andre and Tara, they support us in everything we do, no matter what, they're always there for us.
We're definitely gonna always keep the train rolling, but AGT, you would be missing out if you didn't.
You're gonna give us that golden buzzer and a big thumbs up.
And you are.
That fell off. Okay, I felt like that last one kind of captivated a good timeline of kind of where we started. A lot of people that have seen us grow in the community, they know about the Green Menards buckets. I think they'll forever go down in infamy. And ironically, we started back in September 2019, pre-pandemic. And I was sure that the pandemic was going to just derail what we had envisioned. Because, I mean, when we walked to the rec, at the time we lived in an apartment kitty corner from there. So, I mean, we always saw the kids just out there doing things they probably shouldn't have been doing. Granted, they were outside and not on technology. They just weren't being guided or given like a good outlet. The rec was just kind of there. So he approached Lydia Boyson at the time, now Allie, she does a great job there. And we just said, hey, we have kind of an idea with these drums or with these buckets. Can we use that room? And within 2 days, we had probably 15 kids that had already come and were like coming each day and hey, you know, what day are we gonna be here? So then I'm like, wow, we gotta really make a plan. So we did, that room that we did that interview in held 26 people. Once the pandemic happened and everything kind of closed down, we stayed in touch with the kids. A lot of them we knew from the neighborhood or from our kids, because we have an 18-year-old that's graduating this year and a 13-year-old. So we know a lot of these kids from this small community. But once the rec started opening, they were quick to reach out to us and allowed us as they were slowly kind of letting people in. And we did our first and only, hopefully, pandemic parade. That was, I could say WSU was our first start, but actually that was the first start, was doing the pandemic parade, we joined with fellow people in Winona. They had parades of cars, and we went through neighborhoods to play and perform for people that had been in the house and been there for 100 plus days at that time. Just bringing joy and letting them know, hey, like, we're still out here, we're still, you know. And from there, WSU was kind of the launch off. I mean, Tracy Hale over there, I really can't sing enough praises. I don't know if any of you know her, but fantastic lady. Again, we had buckets and we had foldable chairs, like not like these, but the metal ones. And we had to shuffle around a parking lot with about 15 kids, buckets, sticks. We had no idea what we were doing at that time. It was brand new, but I was like, I know we can handle the kids. We'll just figure it out as we go. And that performance allowed us to buy our first drum. We just had a cup, an actual styrofoam cup, and they donated and donated and donated. I think it was watching the youth. I mean, music is a universal language. That book that she just read was amazing. I don't know if you chose that for today, but kudos. That was a really good book, and it says everything. Music is universal. It brings all cultures, ages, genders, you name it, it brings them together. So, but yeah, that's kind of how we started. Did you want to add to that part? You see what he does? You see that? But once we came back from the pandemic, we had grown to a point where they could no longer put us in that studio room at the rec. They had to put us in the gym, and that is where we are, Tuesdays and Thursdays. They dropped the curtain. We have our own little storage space back there. So those of you that may have went out and fought for the rec and why it's important, this is one of those reasons. This has been our home base for almost 6 years now. And they don't charge us for the space. You know, they just allow us to give this outlet to kids. And what I've seen is that the attendance at the rec now has increased. You know, now there's more programming. They're seeing that you can utilize this space as little as it is, you know, for something constructive. But if it wasn't for their allowing us to be there and their continued support, I mean, even on times where we're traveling out of town and maybe we needed to get drums, we don't have keys to the building, so we gotta time it or we gotta be days ahead. But I've had Allie come and meet me at like 7:30 in the morning because I'm freaking out that we need to be 2 hours away and there's like two drums missing, you know? But that's why we need donations too. Eventually, it'd be nice to have one trailer where we can keep everything in it and not have to always be, you know, scrambling and having 100 cars every time we go somewhere. But that's for another time. Okay, what else should I say about this? A lot of people ask us, you know, who do we serve? What do we see is important about this? The kids in our group are primarily those that are either have a lot of behavioral issues. They tend to be the students that stick out in school, but not for the good reasons. Or maybe they're very unruly at the house. We also have kids that have disabilities like autism, Down syndrome. And we have a lot of kids that come from single parent households or high risk living environments where they're not quite as bad as social services, but it's still not ideal. And again, that goes back to the consistency. You know, we've become kind of that, we say aunt and uncle, you know, because we are that safe place, and I'm not afraid to fight for any kids. I mean, a lot of you know me, I'll get on my soapbox over the kids. And it's important for them to be seen and to be heard in that way. You know, something as simple as when he's starting practice, sitting everybody down and saying, hey, how was your day today? You know, what happened in school that you liked or didn't like or whatever, you know? One of the moms that you saw in that video, Veronica, is she works at the Advocacy Center, but she sits every day and talks to these kids about the challenges that they are facing, whether it be bullying, weight shaming, you know, whatever the case is. Or maybe they're the ones that are the bully and they, you know, she's seeing it and she's kind of not calling them out but holding them accountable. You know, they need that place where they know that we're going to fight for them but we're going to be fair. And we have an old school approach, I will say, that's how we raise our kids, and I think it's effective. You know, we miss that somewhere now in today's society. They don't have that structure or those people that are like, hey, sit down. You know, we need that back, and we have that, and I think that has given us the ability to be able to take them places. I mean, far out of Winona, in a lot of, you know, there's 30 kids, I would say, plus all their siblings, but to be able to move cohesively as a unit everywhere we go, that speaks volumes to kind of the importance of discipline, and that's what this teaches them. It teaches them discipline, it teaches them teamwork, it teaches them their individual role and how that's important to make everything kind of sound good. Being committed to something is important. You can't just come to a few practices and expect to get out there and just perform, you know? So yeah, that's kind of who we serve and who we find has really utilized the drumline the most. People ask us to, how many kids do you guys currently have? He'll tell you from day one, I said, I want a cap. There's got to be like 20, that's it, 25 at best. We have way surpassed that on many occasions, but I think now, yeah, there's like 60 at one point. I think in our maybe 2022 is probably about when that was. Our first Steamboat Days parade, it was that many. And I learned that time that it costs a lot of money to participate in a parade. But it was great, and we actually won first place, and we have every year since that we performed in Steamboat Days, and that one to us is the biggest one because it's the hometown, you know? We put a lot into it. The upside down you saw in the video, that's just one of the little creative tricks that he puts in there just to keep it fresh. We have a guitar player, we have a DJ. It's kind of evolved. I say we're the party train, you know?
Okay, well, I want to capitalize off of something she was talking about, like the old school approach. You know, I'm a little older, you know, and I, the kids nowadays, you know, I just got to say this, you know, they're very sensitive now, you know, they're lazy. They're very sensitive and lazy. And I mean, I've come across the total of kids that we had in our program was probably about 500 kids that came through our program. But those kids were lazy and they were sensitive, you know, and I had to, you know, I'm old school. I mean, like, you crying, you know, okay, wipe your face. Okay, that's it. Go sit down. You'll recover from it. But nowadays, you got to take a different approach with these kids. You got to sit down with them and, you know, hold their little hands and stuff like that. And with me, I'm like, I don't want to be part of the problem, you know. But one thing I learned, though, is I tell them to be quiet and just listen. Because music, like she said, is universal and stuff, you know, and I'm organically inclined. I didn't grow up learning how to read the music or nothing like that. You know, it was just, I learned by ear. You know, I was always sitting there listening to songs and stuff, and it goes in my head, and then, you know, I play it. But this year, the kids, I learned that they're all special. They're all special, you know, and I just can't. And this is coming from my heart, you know, and I grew up in the projects in Chicago, you know, where I didn't have nothing. You know, I grew up with nine sisters. I was the only boy, you know, and it was always some crimes or something really bad going on down there. But when I got here, I've been in Winona 26 years, but when I got here, I found out that this town was a loving town and that people will give you a chance, no matter what your culture was, what your culture is, they'll give you a chance. I stumbled upon this bar called Rascals back in the day when I first got here, and they was playing bluegrass and country music, and I love country music and bluegrass, you know, and I was like, well, this is good. And then I saw all these famous people coming through this bar. You know, it was a bar, but a lot of famous people came through this bar. And I just sat down one day I left the bar and I said, this is the place that I want to be, because I love the people here in Winona. You know, they giving me a chance. I was the first African American man to have a store here in town. I had a jersey store next door to Mulligan's, and then I had four detail shops here. You know, I always stayed employed. You know, I didn't have to go work with nobody. I worked for myself, you know. But just giving you the backstory of me so you can understand how much I feel and how much I love these kids, you know. I took my background to help the kids today, you know, and the kids, they all call me Uncle Dre. You know, I'm the mean uncle. I'm not trying to say it like that, but I'm the mean uncle
for good reason. We'll say stern. And this is why. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. No, he's right though. Our background, you know, not many people know our personal trials and tribulations that we've been through, both individually and as a family. But that lived experience really can help other people. You know, I'm quite sure I see a lot of older people here that have imbibed wisdom, you know, yes. on the younger generation, whether it's your daughter, you know, your Absolutely. Friend's daughter, something that you, somebody that you come across, but your testimony and your lived experience can really, really greatly impact someone in a good way. And music has just been a good way to do that. And I'll piggyback off him, and I don't want to be up here much longer, but Winona is second to none. I'm a military brat. That's my background. I've been everywhere but nowhere. But this is the longest place I've ever lived somewhere. They will have to bury me here. This is home. This is home. One thing that I can say is that the Winona people are very understanding, very welcoming. You know, it could have went very different when we walked into the rec as an interracial couple because we have faced instances like that here and abroad. They could have looked at us and been like, we're not going to let them do that. Yeah. Like, what are they talking about? Buckets, and they want to make all this ruckus and these kids, and we don't know if they're going to be able to handle the kids. This could be a liability, you know. And we have had to break through some stereotypes while fundraising for the kids or, you know, trying to get equal I don't want to say reward, but when we go places, we want to be treated like everybody else. I'm just going to say it like that. But Winona is not like that. Winona has been awesome. They have allowed us to blossom, and we do want to give back to our community. Absolutely. We continue to do that. But without groups like this, I mean, you brought up Christmas, and you know that's my favorite time. Lynn, I know you're in here. I see you. She was a soldier for Christmas, especially this year. We've done it every year since 2019 when we started. It started with like 25 kids in one family. And then now I've done 108 kids just this year, and it touched 39 households altogether. We do all the drumline kids and then all their siblings, which can be a lot, sometimes five and six to a household. And I also, you know, from dealing with the parents throughout the year, we're able to assess kind of their situation. What is their need? You know, are they struggling for bedding, clothing, you know, pots and pans, cleaning products? I mean, you guys know eggs are $6 a thing right now, so bleach is just kind of a hot commodity, you know, but you can't, people just can't afford that on a day-to-day, especially the people that we serve. So I want to say, since I'm standing in front of you, thank you for those that donated quietly behind the scenes. Not everybody gets to come and see the basement of our house. It is a true workshop. I don't know, Lynn, if she shared some of the photos, but it is organized chaos at its finest. But the love and the Lord, honestly, the Lord shows up and shows out at Christmas time. But if it wasn't for the people in the community, I would just be a girl with a bunch of empty boxes.
Absolutely.
So on that note, I would like to say, Deb, thank you for inviting us. I hate public speaking because I'm terrible at it. I ramble and I stutter,
She's
but it's
amazing.
Fine.
She's amazing at public speaking.
But I suppose, do we have like 2 minutes? You said you wanted to let them ask questions if wanted or... Perfect. Yeah, so the full name of the drumline is the Winona Little Warriors Drumline. The Warriors, because all of the kids are warriors. They're all fighting through something, you know. It is about resilience. That's really what life is about. It's about bouncing back. You know, you're going to have your ebbs and your flows. But and we also support Winona wholeheartedly. Because I think because we're both not from here, but we've been welcomed in the way we have. We wanted to stay true to the warrior spirit of Winona. That'd be the best way to put that.
Just a quick reflection on what you're describing as old school. I would say that grit and emotional resilience are the two things that kind of are the thing you're kind of getting at, and music and sports and all these things definitely contribute to that. So thank you for instilling that. The question I had was if you could speak a little bit about your percussion, music, rhythm background, and where kind of the original impetus kind of came from in your past.
Well, I went to Jackson State University, and I was in the band. You know, it was a 500-piece marching band. I wasn't a drummer. I was a drum major. I was the guy that marched in front of the band and made up all the dances. And when we're not marching, you know, if I'm not dancing, the band director, he made you pick an instrument, and I picked the percussion.
Do you teach them like call and response, like you do it, and then they copy?
Yeah.
Is that how they learn the
drum? Yes.
That's just amazing.
Yes.
Just incredible.
I'll side to that and just say, watching that video, I bet you guys didn't think that any of those little kids didn't have skills when they first came. That's one thing we don't require. You can come literally as you are, and we will teach you the basics on up. And then it's also a matter of the older ones or the ones that have been with us a little while also taking on mentorship roles and guiding them throughout that process.
And the youngest kid we have is 5 years old.
He is cute as can be, too. Oh, my gosh.
What's the magic of percussion enabling you to express your emotion and feelings? What's the magic in percussion?
Well, for me, you know, the drum beat comes from Africa, and that's emotional, you know, and that's something that we, from generation, it just comes down, and you just pass it along. But that's where it comes from for me. You know.
I would say that the kids have told us that they really like being able to come and take out a bad day on a drum. Yeah. And I think the hundreds of skins that we've replaced will probably be a good reflection of that. Yeah. But watching their faces light up after performing, I mean, we do probably about 16 parades a year. Not every parade is 100%. But when we really have those good shows, I mean, they're just riding on high afterward and getting the accolades, walking through the people or, you know, being at a place where after we perform they can sit and play or whatever and people approach them and tell them how much they love it or how it's affected them, I can see in their face the pride, you know. Oh, yeah. And yes, you were right, character building. That's what it was. Yes, thank you for that.
Do you notice if many of the kids, after being introduced to the music that you guys are doing with them, do they, some of them go on to join band or other musical ensembles at school?
Yeah.
I would say 99% of them do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I probably already know the answer to this, but as a former teacher of so-called troubled kids, I want to ask you, in addition to them joining other musical organizations, has their classroom behavior and their grades improved?
Oh, no doubt.
I appreciate that question. Yes. The answer to that would be yes, you know, and we actually know quite a few of the teachers now that teach in the schools. We run into them in parades. That's another good thing for the kids when they're out performing and they see their teachers outside of their natural habitat. They're like, and they see them rooting them on, you know, that carries over into the classroom. Holly Leckler, that used to be at the middle school, she taught kids with disabilities, but she had created like a shrine of what the kids had done over the summer. So when they went in for school orientation, they like see this huge display of support, and it opened that conversation, you know, that pathway of conversation, you know, with them. But I hear the most from the parents. The parents will say, so-and-so has changed night and day, you know, after coming home. You know, he's not throwing fits. He's not being destructive. He's not, you know, using vulgar language, you know, because they immediately will let us know. And, I mean, we descend on them right away. And for some reason, kids are just like that. They just receive things better from other people than they do their parents sometimes. That's just the way way of the world, you know. But, yes, we have absolutely seen it. And even the ones that are extremely introverted or very emotionally kind of shut down, you will see them blossom. Now we can't get them to stop. You know, sometimes it works not in your favor, you know. Yeah. No. But it's great to see them blossom. The ones that they're like, they just kind of write off and push them to the side like, oh, he's just too hard to handle. It's like, no kid is too hard to handle. You just need to be direct. You just need to be consistent, you know, and be willing to talk to them and actually listen to what they're saying, because a lot of them will tell you exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm. But to piggyback off of her, my wife, she has an educational program where she goes to Winona State and gets some of the college students to come down and tutor the kids, you know, especially when they get behind. She will call her friend Tracy at the at the college, and she will send some people down, and they'll send them in a circle, I mean, in one of the rooms and stuff, and they'll just focus on that child, you know, so.
I feel like the last thing I'm just going to say is this. If just the two of us, some regular, everyday, low-income ourselves people can see a need and just go for it, I encourage everybody to do that. I don't care what it is. It could be something small, something just for that day. It could be something broad scale. You just never know when that door opens for you, what the Lord has on the other side for you, you know? And I can say that the most rewarding thing about all of this because it's added a lot of gray hairs. We've spent a lot of money on this drum line, but the best thing ever has been watching these kids grow.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of them graduate already. And this particular summer in June, we have a lot of them that have been through our drum line that are graduating. And for me, that's like a proud mom moment 100 times over, you know? And my hope is that they pay it forward now. They see that we were out here working for them and speaking for them and, you know, trying to make sure that they were heard and seen and given an outlet aside from athletics. You know, that is not everybody's cup of tea. Our kids are both almost 6 feet, but neither one of them can play basketball or would want to, you know, and it's just not for everybody,
absolutely,
you know. So giving them that place, giving them that space is important, and we're going to continue to keep doing that, I think, for some time.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'm going to unplug this computer. Oh, okay.